We are in week two of the series that we're calling Have a Heart for the Mission. When we talk about having a heart, it means it's something that we are passionate about. You know, this week, some of you are going to be passionate about a certain day of this week, and some of you are going to be very unpassionate about a day this week. You know what day I'm talking about? Valentine's Day. Oh man, this Thursday, guys, if you weren't aware, your girl was very aware. So here's your notice. Here's your help. Thursday, okay? I hear chocolate goes a long way. We'll see. You know, when you're passionate, yeah. When you're passionate about something, you want to do it. When you are passionate about your sports team, then you want to cheer them on. You want them to be their best. When you are passionate about a hobby, then you want to spend all your free time and all your extra money and some of your not extra money on it, right? Yeah. When you're passionate about something, it means you have a heart for it, that your heart kind of leaps for it. And when we're talking about this series, we're saying, yeah, we want to have a heart for the mission. And last week, as we kicked off this series, we asked the question, what is the mission? What is the mission? And we found out that when Jesus spent some time with a guy named Zacchaeus for long, that he shared what his mission was. And his mission is this, that he came to find lost people, to seek them out, and to save them. All the extra things he did, like healing people and teaching people, that was all extra. But the purpose and why he came to this planet was to save us. And so when we have accepted that and when we become a part of God's family, that means we have a mission as well. That our mission should be the same as his mission, to find and seek out the lost and to save them. Today, we're asking a question. And the question is this, do we need any more churches? Do we need any more churches? Let's find out. Hey, I like your interactivity. This is good. Now, if you came today and you're looking for hope, you're looking for purpose, you're looking for focus to your life, then I've got some really good news for you. We believe that there is hope found in Jesus. And in just a few moments, when we finish this message today, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a decision to receive that hope today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be reading out the New Living Translation. When you came in today, you should have received the bulletin, and inside that bulletin, there would be this handout, some message notes where you can follow along with today's message. It'll have the scripture references. It'll have fill in the blanks. You can follow along with the screen and follow along with the sermon. And yes, these notes are helpful for you to stay awake today, but they also serve another purpose. We want you to take these notes, and we want you to save them. And I want you to pick a date this week. Maybe it's Thursday for you. Maybe it's Wednesday. Whatever day you pick, that you take these notes out and you reread the passage. You read and study the Bible. You look at what it says. And you just don't take my word for it. But find out and discover what God's saying to you yourself. So we're reading today out of Matthew chapter 9 of the New Living Translation. You can follow along on the screen or follow along on your Bible app on your phone. We're reading verses 35 through 38. And it says this. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Let's pray. God, we give these next few moments to you. Lord, as we unpack your word for us today, I pray that you would speak to us and speak to us in two ways. Speak to us to our minds on an intellectual level. Allow us to have some aha moments. God, we also pray that you would speak to our hearts. May our hearts leap in passion to your word today. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Now, one thing that I love doing with my wife is we like going out to eat. Anybody here like going out to eat? Yeah? You like going out to eat? And now we've had the privilege of living in places other than Madison and realizing how many places that we would love to go out to eat that are not in this location. Has anybody ever experienced that? That there's a restaurant you wish was in this area? Yeah. And when we go to restaurants, we like eating there. We like the experience. We like taking friends there. We like recommending them to somebody else. But what happens if we have a bad experience? Oh, man. How many of you have ever had a bad experience at a restaurant? Oh, wow. I saw quite a few hands there, yeah. Whether it was the food that was really bad or whether it was the service that was really bad or there's multiple things that could go wrong and can just ruin the whole occasion. And we decide what we're going to do next with that experience, right? We share it with a friend, right? We share our story or we put it on social media or we give a bad review and maybe we decide we're never going to go there again, right? But how many of you would ever decide to never go out to eat again because of that bad experience? Oh, okay. How many of you like going shopping? Okay. How many of you ever had a bad experience going shopping? Oh, a few. So should we just never shop again? Oh, the husbands all said yes. Yeah. Anybody here ever go to a doctor? Yeah? Ever had a bad experience at a doctor? Yeah. All the time, yes. All the time. Yes. Yes. I'm going through one of those myself right now. Remember, some of you have asked, kind of, what's the update on your arm, Pastor Ryan? It hurts. I'm just faking it. I mean, not faking that it hurts, faking that I don't feel any pain right now. You know, I was supposed to get this MRI. My doctor said, we got to figure out. We can't provide a solution until we get this MRI. And this week, I had to contact the doctor to say, no one's called me yet. And you know, like within a couple hours, I got a phone call. And you know what the phone call said? Yeah, we have an opening at the end of next week. Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. Now, we've all had bad experiences at the doctor, but would we ever decide never to use healthcare again? I don't know. I think that's their master plan. They're driving us to that, right? It's the best way to save money. There we go. How many of you have ever been to a church besides this church? Yeah. Ever have a bad experience? Ever been tempted to never go to church again? Wow. You know, when it comes to churches, there's all different kinds of churches. How many of you have been in a church smaller than this church before? How many of you ever been in a bigger church than this one before? How many of you have ever been at a good church? I hope that's everyone raising their hand right now. Uh-oh. How many of you have ever been to a not-so-good church? Wow. Do you know what the difference is between good churches and bad churches? Believe it or not, it's not the size. Because there are good little churches and bad little churches. And there are good big churches and there are bad big churches. But let me tell you the difference between a good church and a bad church. It's right here on the screen behind me. It's whether or not they have a heart for the mission. You see, the reason why churches even exist is to help people find God. That is the purpose. That's why they're supposed to be. That should be driving every single thing that a church does. And when a church loses this as their focus, then that's when lots of problems start taking place. You see, we have to pause for a moment and realize that when it comes to a church is a collection of Jesus followers who are all flawed, who all make mistakes, who are not perfect. And the thing that keeps us together is if we're going in the same direction, all taking our next steps with God and growing closer to God. And in order for us to all be going in the same direction, we all have to have a focus. And the focus has to be the same focus that Jesus came to this planet with. It's having a heart for the mission. And when a church loses that as its focus, then they begin realizing who's on the journey with them. And that's where we get problems, and that's where we get conflict, and that's where we get separations and splits and backbiting and cliques. And you know what? I don't wish that on our church at all. So as your pastor, I want you to know just straight out here, I am committed to keeping this as our focus as a church, that we have a heart for the mission to find people who need God and to help them find God. I mean, that's our whole vision statement. We are focused on helping people reach their next level with God. You know, when we looked at this passage in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was going to all these towns and he was telling people about the kingdom of God and he was helping people. He was healing people. But as he saw the people, he was looking at crowds. He saw crowds and he had compassion on them. And he described it, and the Bible describes it, that when he saw these crowds, he said, they need help. They're like sheep who have no shepherd. We're asking the question today, do we need more churches? Do we need more churches? There are still a lot of people who have no affiliation with church. As a matter of fact, I've been looking at statistics and trying to figure this out. And in America, the best statistic I could find is this, is that as of right now, 56% of America has zero affiliation with any church at all. 56%. And if you look at a number like that, it's kind of hard to try to take a grasp at what does that mean? What is that about? How big is that? Is that big? Is that small? If we were to take all the people who have zero affiliation with a church at all and created our own country made up of these people, this country would be the eighth largest country in the world. You know, a lot of times as a church, when we talk about the mission and we talk about missions and in reaching people, we think about the foreign lands. We think about Guatemala and Japan and India and all the places that's not America. And yet America has one of the biggest populations. The third biggest unreached group in the world is in America. And that's why we believe it's important when we consider the mission is not just us supporting some missionary somewhere, but the mission is what we do right here. Our church, Focus Church, is planted right here in Sun Prairie in East Dane County to reach this area, to be a light in the darkness, to help people, to look for people who need God. When Jesus was walking that day, he saw crowds and his heart leapt for them. He had compassion on them. He wanted to help them. And I find it interesting that as he was looking at the crowd, he pulled his disciples aside and he said, "Hey guys, I gotta tell you something. Man, this is really on my heart. This is something I'm really passionate about." He says, "The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is great. The harvest is big." And it's interesting that he uses this language. He's using language that would appeal to people who understand a little bit about farming. And so that means that this language would probably also work for us in Wisconsin, right? He's saying the harvest is big. There's a lot of corn out there ready. Now, I want you to see something here in his choice of words and why this is really important. He did not say the crop is really big. The seeds are really big. The land is really big. The fertile soil is really big. No, he said, The harvest is the end of all the farming work. We're talking about the soil has already been turned up, right? And the seeds have already been planted, and the water has already come, and the time has already taken place, and there's been sun. They've gotten its sunlight. And has grown into a huge crop, and it is ready to be picked. He's saying that when he's looking at the people, that they are ready to be a part of God's family. When he's looking and saying the harvest is great, that there's a lot of people ready, willing. They know they need God. We're not talking about people who are far from God or hate God. We're talking about people who are ready for God. And when he's saying the harvest is great, he's saying there's lots of people who are ready to know God. If we were to look in Mark chapter 2, there's a story there where Jesus calls one of his disciples, Matthew, who is a tax collector. And as the story goes, he says, hey, come follow me. And that day, Matthew had a party. And he said, Jesus, come over to my house. We're going to have dinner, and I'm going to invite all my friends. And the people he invited over to his house weren't just bad people, but they were well-known bad people. They were known for how bad they were people. And all the religious people are like, whoa, does he know who he's with? I mean, like, Jesus has no clue. He's like, oh, I'm just going to go where the people, where the party is, right? The religious guy's trying to protect them, say, hey, Jesus, got to protect your reputation. Don't hang out with those folks. But it gave him the opportunity to expound further. This sounds like a similar story to like we talked about with Zach last week, right? And he revealed his mission last week to say, hey, I came to find sick people, or I came to find lost people and to save them. And when he was that day in his house, at Matthew's house, and he's addressing both his disciples and the religious leaders, he says, hey, it's not the healthy who need the doctor, it's the sick. I have come to call those, not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. You see, he wasn't spending time trying to convince people, hey, you're bad. He wasn't wasting his time trying to convince religious people saying, hey, you know, you're really not that great. No, he spent his time with people who were ready, who knew they needed God, who knew they needed something else, that they needed hope and they needed focus to their lives, they needed purpose and they needed something else because they had tried everything else. The harvest is ready. He said, the harvest is great. Then he followed up and said, the workers are few. There are so many people out there that the churches couldn't even contain it right now. I was looking at another study to say, the article had a question of this, do we have enough churches already? And there are a lot of churches in America, but we're not keeping up with two different factors. One, how many churches close every year? And two, how much the population is increasing. That if we wanted to be on track to keep up with just those two statistics, we'd have to have 200,000 new churches start this year. And as big as a number that seems, that's not the half of it. Those 200,000 churches would need to be reaching 1,000 people apiece. Would you agree with me? Mathematically, we're behind. There are a lot of people who need Jesus, and there are not enough churches. And so Jesus instructed his disciples, saying, hey, he just told them, he said, the harvest is great, the workers are few, so here's what I want you to do. And this is key here. This is key for us here at Focus Church, because we want to love God and we want to love people, but the third part to our mission statement says, do something. That we got to take action with what we hear and what God prompts us to. And he's right here boiling it down. He's like, I just told you something. I told you there's lots of people who are ready. They're ready. They know they're sinners. They know they need God. They're ready. But we don't have a lot of workers, people who are going to go out and get them. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest is God himself. And you pray that there would be more workers. More workers. So if we're to be having a heart for the mission, it means that we also can't just be about what we're doing, but we got to be celebrating and helping other churches and other people who are called to reach more people. You know, America doesn't need another church to open up that's just interested about social events. They don't need another country club or a hangout place. They don't need another place where they just have supper club together. What they need what our area needs, what our state needs, what our country needs, is people to say yes to God, to go to a place and say, I believe I'm supposed to help people in this area find God. That's what we need, and that's what we should be praying about. Now, I have kind of struggled in this area when it comes to our mission as a church. And I look at who we support, and we're very intentional about who we support. And we support people locally, and we support people nationally, and we support people globally. But there's been one area that we have not had a part in, and that's this heart for the mission, specifically for more churches to be planted. And more important than more churches being planted, for more people called to go out. We want to partner with churches who are saying, hey, we're supposed to be here. You know, statistics go that the most effective churches in reaching people for God are ones that are within their first 5 years of existence. First 5 years. Let me explain why that works. Because in the first 5 years, their focus is their heart for the mission, helping people find God. After 5 years, then kind of a decision has to be made. Are we okay with what we got? Am I afraid of losing what we got? Can I just hold it together and keep everybody happy? I'm telling you, if you ever see problems in a church, it's because they lose sight of the mission. They forget the mission that we're supposed to be helping people find God. Now, I find it interesting how gleefully we raise our hands in experience of if we've been in a big church and we've been in a small church, and you probably have big opinions about what that is. And let me tell you about our church. I don't think we're supposed to be a small church. And let me tell you why. Because I think we're supposed to be a church that's about the mission, helping people find God. And as long as there are people who need God, then we will be available to help them. And that means we got to add some seats. If we got to add some square footage, if we got to have standing room only, if God is still going to entrust people to us to help them find him, then that's what we're going to be. And I promise we will not lose our focus of the mission. But we should celebrate each time. Now, as I was reading statistics, I was really sad to hear that the average church in America sees two people saved a year. Two. And in order for a church to be really growing and doing something, it said, wow, a church has strived that one day they should have at least like 25 or 26 people saved, making a decision for Jesus. Then you know God's up to something. And they say that less than 5% of churches are experiencing that. Focus Church last year had 47 decisions for Jesus. It's God who gets that glory, God that gets that applause. We are on mission, and this is what we're about, and I will not apologize for that. Now, as we're developing a heart for the mission, what God has birthed in my heart is that Focus Church has to be about helping other churches start. And today, I'm really excited to have a special family with us. They're Matt and Tara Hayton and their four children. And Shalee and I met them about 14 years ago. We didn't know we were going to meet, but it ended up that we were on the same team. You see, we had each answered the call and said yes to start a church. But not just our own church, but we were called to support someone else starting a church in Seattle, Washington. And we spent a few years working hard, helping people find God in a place that was far from God. And we came to know the Haytons, and we came to love the Haytons, even though the last name is Haytons. I always had fun with that. But they are here with us today because they're saying yes to God once again. They have a heart for starting a church. And I believe after hearing their story that we're supposed to be a part of their story, that Focus Church is supposed to be behind them and supporting them financially and through prayer and in other ways we can figure out how to support them. In just a moment, Matt's going to come share with us about what God's calling them to do, but first, let's hear just a little bit about their story. Let's watch this.
I remember the very first day that I drove through town in 1998. I felt God speak to my heart and say to me, Matt, I want to have you plant a church in this community someday. The heart and vision for Cedar Bend Church has really been 20 years in the making. We decided that if we were really going to plant a church, that we better think long and hard about maybe joining a church planting team. So we decided in the summer of 2005 to move to Seattle, Washington and join a church planting team. And that really became just a crucible season in our lives. While we were church planting in Seattle, we were investing in real estate at the time, and the whole market unraveled. And we kind of got caught up in that. And that left us with this giant debt load. Honestly, it was this extremely low point in our lives. And I think that those deep and dark waters that we went through really birthed inside of us a passion to come alongside of people when they're walking through the difficult challenges that life just throws at you, and want to provide hope and a safe, healing place. And I think that's really where the heart and passion for launching a church that would come alongside of folks and all the challenges and bends in the road that that brings, to provide something that's life-giving to people. There's a word picture in Jeremiah 17. If we're like trees, and if we send our roots deep down next to God's living water, we're able to withstand any bend that we face in life. We live in this beautiful all-American community, and yet there's also a dark side to the community. Sadly, even though we're a rural community, we're right stacked up next to the urban centers of Madison and Milwaukee for our crime rates.
A lot of divorce, a lot of drug abuse, a lot of alcohol abuse, and we're finding that 80% of the St. Croix Valley is unchurched.
As we think through the vision that God has given us for our community, why we want to plant Cedar Bend is that we really believe that the presence of God changes lives. We felt God's presence walk with us that entire season of life. And there's folks that are really struggling or have been in dark places, and we feel specifically called to be a place that helps bandage the broken, to be really a solution for some of those challenges in our community, where people can find a home that maybe never felt at home inside of a church before.
To see people find purpose, passion for who God is. Definitely a small town, news travels fast, and people are excited. They want something life-giving in this community. We've already had people like, how can I help? How can I help? What do you need me to do? And it's been exciting.
I felt God say to me this phrase, not yet, for a number of years. And we felt like God has kind of kept us from planning this church until right now. And what's really interesting is in our community, a new bridge was just built. It was like we took our community and dropped it 10 minutes closer to the Twin Cities metro area, bringing new families and new individuals in our community that probably would have never come. And if we can help provide that hope to others in this community that we love and believe God has called us and sent us to, believe we can really be a place of healing to help them become who God has created them to be.
Well, hey everyone. My name again is Matt Hayton, and my wife and four kids are here. We want to give a little wave. My wife's right back there, Tara, and then Ari and Caleb are here in the service, and Noah and Amelia are down in the kids area. But we're so honored to be here. We're just it's a joy to be here and kind of share with you a little bit about our heart for planting a church up in the northeastern corner of the state. So. Oh, we're right up in the northeastern, but I meant northwestern. So we're up right outside of Minneapolis. So, I also wanted to just give a special thanks just to Pastor Ryan and Shalee. Would you do this for me? I mean, it's amazing to be a pastor and a pastor's wife, But I think they really deserve your honor. Would you just give them a round of applause? I think they're doing an amazing job. I mean, I tell you what, you don't get to hear thank you enough. And seriously, they're doing a bang-up job. I know they work so hard. And we did. We got the honor to be in Seattle together, church planning. I'll tell you, I have never met a harder worker than Ryan Foldhazy. And I've never met people that are more built of heart of gold than Ryan and Shalee. And just watching them, man, they are all in. And that's one thing that I've always respected about Ryan and Shalee, is there was no doubt or question of how much their heart was into something. They always led the charge. And I've always respected that about them. And I think they've really brought that here to Focus Church. So I think you guys are very blessed to have them as your lead pastors. So, but we're just excited to share a little bit more with you about the St. Croix Valley. As I mentioned, we're an hour northeast of Minneapolis, St. Paul, on the northwestern side of Wisconsin. And we're in the St. Croix Valley, and only about 20% of the people, according to our research, go to church. And it's a dark place, it's small towns, and you know, there's a lot of idle hands and people that I think get caught up with having life be a little bit bored at times. So, and just to start, I wanted to kind of fill in a few more gaps of the story that you watched on the video. I thought it really would be applicable to hopefully your own life and just kind of hearing our story that's birthed planting a church. So I've titled my message today, Moving Past Our Past. And I want to tell you a little bit about our past, and I kind of alluded to it in the video. Just to start, there's a verse in Psalms 18, 16 through 17. It says, "He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me or were too strong for me." And the rest of our story is that we had assets of $1.6 million in real estate. And then if any of you remember this time, it's been a while ago now, but in 2006, the market crashed. And those homes that were worth $1.6 which was what we were doing to make our living while we were church planting out in Seattle, in about 6 months' time, were only worth about $800,000. And we were just overwhelmed by that. Frankly, it wasn't even something we really talked about a lot, even on our church planting team. But it was a heavy load for myself to bear, as well as our lead pastor, who was also investing in real estate at the time, too. And we found ourselves, just in a very dark place. And I remember one night laying in bed, and I'm just going to share a little bit about our story, because I think that it really, your story is who you become, and that's what God wants to use. I really believe that. And I just remember laying in bed one night, and I remember listening to the rain fall, because it rains all the time in Seattle. If you ever want to know about the weather forecast in Seattle, I can make it really easy. They don't have to worry about being right or wrong out there, Pastor Ryan. Here's pretty much the weather in Seattle. So on July 5th, it'll start to rain. And it'll rain all the way around until July 3rd. And then the July 4th, it's sunny. And that's what your weather is in Seattle. If you're ever wondering, I'm just letting you know. That's what it is, and you're good now. That's the weather forecast in Seattle. Except for right now, they're getting snow. Cold rain. Anyways, this one night, I was laying in bed. And frankly, I'd already beefed up our life insurance policies. But I looked over to my wife, and I couldn't sleep. And I was listening to the Seattle rain crashing down on a roof. And I just decided that was the night that I was going to take action for some thoughts that had been in my head for a long time, which was really to end my own life. And I don't say that flippantly. It's kind of hard for me to talk about, especially my kids in the room. But I walked around to the other side of the bed. I looked down and I kissed my wife on her forehead while she was asleep, thinking it'd be for the last time. And I didn't have the heart, but I walked past my kids' rooms. I couldn't say goodbye to them. And I remember we had this blue shag carpet. It's funny how things get burned in your mind. We had this blue shag carpet in this house we were renting. And I remember just walking down the stairs with that carpet. I grabbed my keys for our car, and I decided that I was going to take that car and drive it off of one of the cliffs in the Seattle foothills of the Cascade Mountains. And that was going to be the night I was just going to walk away from this giant amount of financial mistakes that I've made. And I went and I opened up the door, and the door did this every time. It squeaked and made this loud noise. And I can tell you, I have a huge empathy for folks that have this type of thought, because I think I was really oppressed. I was not in my right state of mind when I was going through this process. And I think many people that end up making that ultimate mistake find themselves in a similar position. They're not really in their right state of mind. And fortunately, in that moment, God spoke to me. God woke me up out of that, of what I was about ready to do. And I remember then standing on our front porch, and I remember God saying to me these three words: faith, family, and friends. And that really became a mantra for us this season, because it took us 13 years to really undo the financial mistakes that we'd made at that time. And we're just coming out of that, frankly. But I remember that I felt God say to me, you're my son, and I don't care how far in debt you are. Your wife, she doesn't care. She loves you anyways. I don't know why, but she loves you anyways. And your kids don't care. My kids didn't know, right? They didn't even have an awareness to the financial debt load that we were in. And what was crazy about that season is that God rescued me. And in that moment, as I was standing there, I felt God did for me what David talks about in that verse that we just read. God reached down from heaven. He rescued me from myself and the action I was about to make. And he rescued me from something that was too deep, too strong, too big for me. And I want to tell you today, if you're here and you feel like you're drowning, you feel like you're in waters that are too deep for you, all you have to do is let God rescue you from whatever that is that's too big for you. And I know, because I speak from a life that's experienced that. If the 2006 me knew what the 2019 me knows, I would have never contemplated suicide. If the 2006 me had known that I would watch my daughter, Ari, become an award-winning gymnast, man, I would have never thought about committing suicide. If I would have known that I would watch my son, Noah, catch a 33-inch northern as a 9-year-old boy in the Boundary Waters on a trip, man, I would have never had those thoughts, right? If I would have known that I would watch my son Caleb has this incredible skill. He can take clay and he can make any type of creation, like animal creation. He makes humpback whales, he makes dolphins, he makes mooses, and they look identical. And I get to watch him do this all the time. And if I would have known that my fourth child, if I would have been able to teach her how to swim, and on our trip we just went to Hawaii and I got to teach her in the pool. And if I would also known that I would have been able to sneak out after the kids went to bed while we were in Hawaii and go out on dates with my wife, I would have never contemplated suicide. But a lot of times, you know, our present and our past, it can rob us of the future that God has for us. Jeremiah 29:11, very famous scripture, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." See, no matter how difficult life is at times, we can't let the pain that we go through rob us of the future that God has for us. You know, if you're still breathing, life can get better. And a lot of times, life's very painful. It's very difficult. It's not easy. We all walk through those moments in life where it's challenging. But I'm going to tell you, and hopefully you can see in our life, that God has changed drastically the pain that we went through during that season and turned it into something pretty incredible. Once I was able to focus on the future, and I thought it was very interesting that I penned those words knowing that I was coming here to Focus Church. Once I was able to change my focus and put it on the future and not the present or the past, I was able to move forward with where we were at and where God was calling us to. So how do we move past our past? I kind of mentioned that. I'm kind of wrapping up here. It won't be long. Author Viktor Frankl, which is a landmark book that he wrote, it's Man's Search for Meaning. Great read if you ever get the chance. And Frankl forged these ideas. He forged these ideas after he lost all of his family and his entire livelihood and survived the concentration camps of World War II. He says this: "We can discover meaning in life in three different ways. By creating a work or doing a deed, by experiencing something or encountering someone, and by the attitude we take towards unavoidable suffering." And you know, I think I've found that to be true in my own life. Out of this season of pain and suffering that we didn't really have. And frankly, many people suffer way worse things than what we did. Our pain has always been financial, and that's minimal compared to many others that deal with much more difficult challenges in life. But that bore out of it this desire to again go and plant a church in this area that really is in need. And then I've found it to be true that some of my greatest purpose and identity in life is in the roles that I get to play as husband and father. And back to that piece of vocation, Frankl says this: everyone has his own specific vocation or mission in life to carry out a concrete assignment which demands fulfillment. And that dovetails very well into this passage of scripture that's become a favorite of mine. It's Acts 20:24, and Paul says in that passage, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." You know, I believe we all have a mission. I don't think God just saves us from something. I think he saves us for something, to do something, right? And I think everyone in this room has capacity, that God created you with a unique desire, with a plan, that we all have a mission to fulfill. And it doesn't matter how great or small that is. See, when we play our part, God does great things. And he gets the credit, we don't. We don't need the credit, right? But we get to be a part of something that can really be life-changing or world-changing if we just play our role. I'm going to read, again, one of my favorite quotes by MLK. It's a phenomenal quote that I think is very applicable to what we're talking about here. "When you discover what you will be in your life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't just set out to do a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, the unborn couldn't do it any better. And if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Leontine Price," whoever that guy is, must have been good. "Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, 'Here lived a great sweep sweeper who swept his job well.' If you can't be a pine at the top of a hill, be a shrub in a valley. Be the best little shrub on that side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or fail, but be the best of whatever you are." You know, and for me, I had to rebirth my identity, and I had to figure out what that meant, because, you know, there's like plan A in life, and then there's plan B, and then there's C and D, you know? And sometimes life does that to us, but we have to really identify, okay, here's what I have, and God, how can you take it and use it, even though maybe it's been a bit of a windy road and not what we envisioned. And for me, that really started as re-identifying myself as a son of God first, and knowing that there was nothing I could do, good or bad, to change being a son. And then it really was these roles that we all play. We all have family roles. You're a son, you're a daughter to your earthly parents. Maybe you're a brother, maybe you're an uncle, maybe you're a father, maybe you're a mother. Your brother or sister. You know, those roles are important in identifying our purpose in life. And I think I found that to be true over this last decade. And then out of those roles, most importantly being a son, we've received, our family has received this assignment, this mission to go and plant a church in a community that hasn't seen a new church in the last 20 years. And I tell you, I think there's no better place on this earth than when you're living on mission for what Jesus has called you to do and called you to be. And see, when we say yes to God, that's a great thing. I got a question for you, and then I'll turn it over back over to Pastor Ryan. Here's my simple question. I hope you think about this and you process this. And I believe it's a question that God asks all of us. And the question, it's very simple, is what is God asking you to do? And what are you going to do about it? What's the assignment, the mission, the role that God has given for you to do and accomplish today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life? And what are you going to do about it? And we answer yes to that. That's when God will say to us back someday, well done, my good and faithful servant. So I encourage you, process that, whatever that means for you. For us, it means starting a church in a small town in northern Wisconsin. For you, it may look very differently, but I believe God has a unique plan and purpose for your life. So thank you.
Now, you've been on this 20 years that has been in your heart to plant this church, and God said a lot of not yet, but now he's giving you the green light, right? And when is the church starting?
Yeah, I apologize, I didn't mention that. So we're launching September 15th, public launch September 15th. We're hoping to be in our high school. That's what we're working towards. We're getting approval from the board here. We're going through that process right now.
You know, I don't know if you could capture it. I mean, I've known these guys for a long time, so I know what their character's like. I know their story and everything. But even just sitting here this morning and watching the video and hearing Pastor Matt talk, could you feel the same thing I was feeling? Like, I want to be behind this. I want to be a part of this. Wow, they're saying yes to the mission. And I'm excited to say that Focus Church is getting behind Cedar Bend Church. We're going to begin financially supporting Cedar Bend Church. And we believe that people are going to come to know Jesus because of what they're doing. That it's going to change a community. That all the bad statistics that they're showing about the area, there's going to be some new statistics written very soon. And it's going to be exciting to hear and exciting to follow along with. But you know, we're going to support them financially, but I think we also need to support them a few other ways too. I think that we need to support them by constantly lifting them up in prayer. I firmly believe that when you set out to do what God's called you to do, then you're also asking for the enemy to try to stop you, okay? Which means that whatever pain they have felt in their past, they're about to get a whole bigger hurt here in the near future, okay? And they need God's help. They need help in faith. They need help in confidence in their call. They need help in people resourcing and joining their team and being a part of that. They need the first people from the area to be part of the church. And they need people to start being there. And there's so many things that they need that we've got to commit on a weekly basis to pray for Cedar Bend Church. Would you commit to that with me, that we would pray for Cedar Bend Church? Would you do that? Thank you. And I'm thinking as we follow along with their journey and what they're doing, we're going to keep on asking them, saying, what else do you need? What else? What could we be praying for? What could we do? And I think even when it's time for their September launch, I think there should be a representation from Focus Church over there to be with them. What do you think? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, we should do that. Yes. But we're excited to have a heart for church planting, a heart for more churches starting. And our commitment is that we're going to commit and follow along with them for this year. And I think it's not only a commitment to Cedar Bend Church, but it's a commitment to just more churches, that there's got to be more churches, and that we would look to be a part of more people being called, more workers being called to the harvest. At this time, I'm going to ask Tara to come up and join her husband and your two kids that are with you. Go ahead and come join us. That's okay. If they don't want to come, just Tara can come. Okay, that's fine. But we're going to pray for you because we believe that this is a partnership together. This is something that God's taking these true churches and joining us together. Yep.
This is the better half right here.
The better half. So I would like, as I pray, I want you to just stretch your hands out towards them. I want you to pray. Talk to God. Tell God what you are wishing for this couple and for this church. Let's pray for the Haytons and for Cedar Bend Church. God, we lift up this family to you. God, we thank you that they said yes to you. God, that you have rescued them, but you've set them on a course to do something amazing for you. God, we always say around here that if God's in something, we want to be a part of it. And God's definitely, you're definitely in part of what's happening in Osceola and St. Croix Valley. God, I pray that you've put this on their heart, Lord, that you bring it to fruition. If you've given them a green light, God, I pray that you give them favor. That I pray that there would be just overwhelming welcome from the community for a life-giving, life-changing church who is on mission, who has a heart for the mission to help people find you. God, I pray that you would strengthen this family. God, I pray that you would build their faith. Lord, I pray for protection over them. Lord, as attacks come from the enemy, as we know they will, God, I pray that you would fortify their household. Lord, that you would provide when there doesn't seem the way to provide. God, I pray that you would give answers. Lord, I pray that you would provide health. God, I pray that you would make a difference. Lord, that you give them the words to say. Lord, that you would go before them, that doors would open. God, that the community would be receptive. God, that they would have people whose lives are changed. We believe that statistics are going to change this area. God, a place that is described as dark would be a place that's also described as there is light there. There is hope there. And that hope is found in you. God, I believe you've given them a message for this area, God, and I pray you give them creativity in sharing that message. Lord, that you give them boldness in sharing this message. God, as they are putting the final 6 months of plans before their public launch, I pray that you provide the resources they need. Lord, the equipment they need. Lord, the people they need, the team they need, everything they need, God, to do what you called them to do. God, you are the provider of vision, and we ask that you follow your vision with provision. Be with them, God. Lord, be with our church as we commit today to be behind Cedar Bend Church. Lord, that this church would make a difference. God, that we would support, that we would pray. Lord, that we would give. Lord, that we would go. Lord, we're thankful for what you are doing. Lord, there's more that need to say yes to you. God, you said in your word, you said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that there would be more workers. So God, we pray for this area, for this church, and for church planting in this whole region, in the state, God, that more people would say yes to you. Even so, God, even people that you are speaking to this morning here at this church, God, whatever you are placing on hearts, Lord, help us to be able to say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give a hand for the Haytons as they... Now, we've made a commitment to sponsor them as a church, and we've decided to take a portion of everything we receive and to send their way. But if you also feel like that you're supposed to be giving towards them, anything that you give from here on out, if you put Cedar Bend Church or you put the Haytons, we will make sure that it gets to them as well. I believe that God can do miracles and that God can provide. And one thing that I know for certain, knowing Matt's story and something he didn't even talk about, is through the course of dealing with this debt, they're trying to launch their church debt-free. They're trying to raise everything they can up front, and if they don't have it, they're not spending it. And they've raised more than half of what they need, what they feel they need to launch successfully, but they need more. And we're excited to be a part of it. We want to pray specifically for that need that God would provide and that more people and more churches would back them up and join their team and reach in this area. Now, as we close today, as we respond to what we've heard today, it's important for us to recognize that this is a decision we make with our heart, and it's also a decision we make with our head. Having a heart for the mission says that I leap when I hear about this. I leap about when I hear that people are knowing God. I leap when I hear this people answering the call, that answering that prayer, that God send more workers to the harvest. But it also is a decision in our head saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to act out. I'm going to be the difference. I'm going to be part of the solution. And it's exciting to see what they're doing here. But you know what? We have a history here in this community. We've been here a long time. As a matter of fact, when they're celebrating year zero in September, we're celebrating year 45 of being in Sun Prairie this September. And this church has a long history of making a difference. And I believe, though, that the best is still yet to come. And that there are still more people who need Jesus. And that we're supposed to be a part of it. And it's no mistake that you're here and that you're a part of this family. And I thank God weekly for each and every one of you. I'd like you at this time, as I close in prayer, I want you to just close your eyes and bow your heads as we wrap up today. I said at the very beginning that if you came today looking for hope, looking for purpose, looking for that missing thing in your life, that I've got good news. It's Jesus. You see, God loved you so much that he made a way. That way involved sacrificing his son. Because somebody would have to pay the price for everything that we would do wrong. And yet, he did it for you. The Bible says that there's only one way to find peace. There's only one way to find this hope. It's only one way to find this purpose. And that's found in giving up on yourself. You see, we live our life story with ourselves as the main character. We say that we can be smart enough and we can work hard enough and we can do enough. But when we're alone, we know the real story, the real failures. No matter how hard we try, we will never find that peace. We will never find that joy. We'll never find that hope. We'll never find that purpose. And that's because you were designed to be in relationship with God himself. And God wants to give you hope, and he wants to give you purpose. And the Bible says it's easy as making a decision. It's as easy as talking to God and saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. God, I believe that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. It's saying, God, I don't want to be in charge of my life, but I want to follow you, that you be in charge, that you lead me, you direct me, you guide me. He'll give you hope where there was no hope. He'll give you purpose where there was no purpose. He'll give you joy where there was no joy. And today is the day, day one, where you can say, that's me. I want that, Pastor. And if that's you, I want you to let me know while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to pray for you. And the way I want you to let me know is that in just a moment, I want you to raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want what you're talking about. I need that now. So if that's you, right now, go ahead, lift your hand. Let me see. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask that you pray repeating after me. And here at Focus Church, nobody prays alone, so everyone's going to pray, repeating after me. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me joy. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.